You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Look, I'm no beer expert, but I do play one on podcasts. And that's why you should trust me and that Oscar Blues Brewing Company is one of the best beers out there. The original people to put craft beer in a can with their Dale's Pale Ale, which, by the way, is also delicious. So, you know, convenient to support that. And they've got all kinds of flavors, 4 different locations, 2 in Colorado, 1 in Austin, 1 in North Carolina. Delicious beers. Big supporter of OneOfUs.net. Well worth going out of your way to go to the breweries and check it out, where you can get lots of seasonals not available elsewhere, as well as their homemade sodas. Oh my God, they're so good. And just buy them in the store, because you can find their cans all over the place. So delicious. Also, please, if you're not already a subscriber, I mean, come on, as little as $2 a month, $5 a month, or if you want to go up to 10 or 25 as well, there's different perks at every single level where you get lots of bonus stuff inside of the forums of extra podcasts and videos and all sorts of stuff that we do. It is the only reason we're able to keep going. Also, think about liking us on all our various different social media, especially our YouTube page. We'd love to get more likes on there. That does make a difference because we do get ad revenue from those things. So please, if you go on there and subscribe to our YouTube page, that makes a difference as well. So for these Purge movies, the same guy has written all of these, James DeMonaco. And there's no question that these have been overtly political from the get-go.
What?
But
no.
Getting more and more political. This movie, this motherfucker thinks he's David Simon. He's like, yeah, man, I'm going to make a Purge movie, but it's going to be like The Wire. And I'm like, you're not David Simon, no. Dude. I mean, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but like, have you seen the actors on The Wire?
No.
And then you have these people.
Well, you have people playing parts.
Yeah.
He's trying to start the revolution, man.
Hey, well, I mean,
he's doing his part.
There's no question.
What are you doing, Chris?
Yes.
I'm reviewing the first Purge for OneOfUs.net.
Oh, it's actually the fourth Purge.
You know what?
I'm so happy for you that you got to use that joke.
It's Purge Zero.
It's the prequel for the TV show, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the TV show starts not that far from now, like exactly. A 10-episode event series, whatever. I flat out enjoy these movies. They're all kind of dumb, but there's a lot of good intention behind these things where I'm like, man, I like where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Like that idea, like basically Trump is the president, except not Trump.
He's I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they actually straight up quote him multiple times in this movie. But
advertised with a red, basically make America great again hat.
Yeah.
Someone gets grabbed by the pussy and then someone gets sprayed in the face with mace.
Yeah. There's a lot of very, very, very can't miss it references. But if you're not familiar with the Purge films at all, the idea is one day a year for 12 hours, murder and absolutely everything is legal. And the first movie is just a bottle movie with Ethan Hawke and his family and his house. And after that, they spread out to being – like the last two were really kind of John Carpenter-ish, like Escape from New York.
And they're really helped by Frank Grillo in those last two, where which these movies, if anything, have made Frank Grillo somebody people recognize, and that's been great for everyone.
Yeah, Grillo is terrific. He is – I was surprised they brought him back for the third one, but I'm really glad they did.
Yeah,
those films are fun, and I think that the series has, on the whole, been really fun. If I have an issue with this one going back – it's that, yes, they've always been saying, okay, this is the issue. The rich want to kill the poor, but they want to make the poor to kill themselves, and that's what's going on. And this one, with going back to the beginning, the first Purge, which wasn't countrywide, it was an experiment. It's just on Staten Island in New York. And, like, just all the stuff that's going on here is all stuff you're like, okay, I'm not surprised in the context of the series and what you're trying to say politically, and even the overall arching metaphors that they're going on here. But every time somebody stops the movie cold to deliver a speech, you're just like, come on, man.
There's a lot of message moments.
Yeah.
It's like, they're trying to kill our community but you've been killing our community every day of the year.
I mean, they don't even need to say it out loud is the thing. Yeah. Like, every time somebody says it, it's like, you just showed us that. Why are you telling now? Or why are you having a character feel like a character's got to say it out loud?
I think maybe that's why I like the second one and the third one, maybe just a little bit better than this one, because they were a bit They didn't do that as much. Mm. They didn't stop and, like, hold your hand
stop
as much.
And turn their heads slowly towards the audience. I mean, it's like they're playing their Trump card. You know?
What would you do?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, how many shots did we get of that one sign in front of the church? Pray, don't purge.
Yeah.
I think it showed up at least 6 times. It showed up more than some main characters.
But here, you're following, I mean, this is all in a super poor, impoverished area, and it's saying, yes, it's after, like, employment's at all-time low, the stock market is crashing, everything's falling apart. And Marissa Tomei plays a scientist who supposedly doesn't have any political leanings, who came up with this thing. Like, yeah, sure, okay, no political leanings, wink.
She's in it for the science, okay?
She's just in it for the science.
She even says that.
I'd say she's in it for the paycheck.
Yeah, do you even science, bro? Do you?
Dude, this is smart science fiction.
And we get a little bit of her dealing with, like, the flunky politician who is, like, kind of overseeing the whole event. And we see a lot more of the people on the street, which range from an activist young lady who's, like, screaming at everybody of how wrong this is from the get-go and is just trying to protect her family, to her little brother who basically, like, was supposed to leave the city but didn't because, and this was a question I always had, how would they even get this fucking thing started, right? You're always like, how would you ever get, how would everyone not just leave the area?
And right. But it's like, decent how they answer that.
Yeah, well, that's a good answer. Yeah. They go, okay, well, we gave anyone who agreed to stay $5,000 and insinuated that if they were active, they'd get paid even more.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is such a poor area. People were like, no jobs. Like, what choice do we have, right?
Yeah.
Little brother is like has lied to his sister. He's like, I'm staying here and I'm putting on the awesome glow in the dark like video contact lenses that everybody has so they can watch what's going on. That was a great idea to give the movie.
I was like, as a guy who's tried to put on contacts as a person with glasses, you don't just randomly go, I'm going to put on contacts for the first time. You were like the first try. I've been like, no, you've been dropping those all over the place. Going shit.
I need some extra money. I like how they make it make sense, like, in the context. Like, these are bright blue, shining contacts. And then there's, like, kind of intense moments in this movie where you can see characters because there's basically lights coming out of their eyes.
Which they also had them different people at different colors, too, which I thought was cool.
I love that. And then so he's got to, like, close his eyes so people can't see him. That was a really nice
thing. Basically, he's thought of that, too.
He realizes early on, I have made a huge mistake, and calls his sister, who has to leave her safe space to go find him. So that's one story going on. Meanwhile, you have the other story with the guy I'm calling motherfucking Wesley Snipes.
It's his sister's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, who is like the drug lord of this area. But he's a good guy. He's a drug lord with a heart of gold.
He's the one who likes his neighborhood and, you know, goes to see the kids play basketball and gives them coaching advice. The good dude.
To be fair, he is the one that actually seems like a villain in The Wire, where you're like, oh, you actually do have human qualities to you, and you actually are kind of awesome, even though you're still bad.
Yeah. Well, he's also the only one who could give a very strong performance, which they seem to focus on, especially as the movie progresses.
Yeah, like I said, he's motherfucking Wesley Snipes in this movie. He really is.
He executes people, too.
Huge, ripped motherfucker that, like, is super good-looking, and he, like, actually brings some acting gravitas of some level to just playing kind of an action hero in this. Yeah. And I like that basically not only is he finding out his own gang is under attack by another guy, but is the one who starts to realize everything is not as it seems in this purge. This is the big question. Right. Nobody really wants to purge at first. Oh, except for the neighborhood psychos they call Skeletor.
Yeah.
It would have been better if he wasn't playing it so over the top that you're just laughing at him.
Yeah. He had cool makeup, though.
He had cool makeup.
That first scene was really over the top. I'm like, okay.
I was like, oh boy, here we go.
Did they just pick him up while he was squeaking on meth for that first interview?
This guy was like trying so hard to be Jared Leto.
Yeah. No, he was trying to be that stabbing robot from Futurama.
There's lots of little characters around the sidelines of this thing, but really we're mainly following this young lady, political girl, her brother, and the gang lord and his friends as the overall. There's a lot of like messages in the film that are all about the same thing to various degrees, but I love them. Sort of one of the messages is like directed at this drug dealer and arguably to people watching this incredibly violent film, like in a sort of, yeah, kill some motherfuckers sort of way, going like, yeah, you guys are dealing drugs and shit. You do realize where those drugs are coming from and how they're allowed to get here and how they end up in those poor neighborhoods, right? Mm-hmm. It's because the government's really happy that y'all want to kill yourselves. Right. You know, they want to put you at each other's throats. And this is the movie going overtly, wink, motherfucking wink.
Well, especially towards the end of the movie when they're mounting an attack, the gang is, one of the gang leaders says, I just bought all this new guns last week. They're giving a crazy discount. I didn't know who the seller was, but it was, I just bought everything.
Yeah. And like, it's like, hello. It was the
government. They're trying to get us to kill ourselves. What do you want? He's like, I bought all of them. So nobody else got this shit. It's like, all right, good.
I mean, that's the thing. There's no lack of subtlety in any of these films and certainly not this one. But there's something about, like, that, I guess, the spoonful of extreme ultra-violence helps the medicine go down.
It's like in 20 years, this is going to be our Pulp, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I see this. It's just, like, a fun, ridiculous ride that, like, audiences love. Like, I don't know. I just love this kind of shit.
I see it as, like, a new addition to, like, the urban, well, horror, and not really horror. It's on the fringe of horror. But, like, of the urban horror with like, Candyman and, like, the people under the stairs.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. This is great.
But it's doing that sort of thing where it's, you know, be, like, thriller, but that uses horror tropes.
Right.
You know?
I mean,
because he's only the first one I would say is outright a horror film. The rest of them are definitely more of a sort of, like,
action.
Like, Escape from New York. So it's, like, a thriller mixed with, like elements of, like, whoa, that was creepy. What the fuck was that?
So I think my biggest issue with this whole series has always been, I look at it as horror, and, you know, for better or worse, slasher movies base it on the bad people, the people who are morally gray, or, I mean, in the older ones, just have sex and do drugs, which I'm perfectly fine with those people normally.
Yeah, nowadays in movies, those are the ones who live.
Right, but in those ones, it's like, you know, technically it's the morally gray people, and the bad people are the ones generally getting killed. I'm like, these movies are based on generally good people trying to stay alive and getting the shit kicked out of them, and at some point, chopped up with machetes.
Well,
it's a little bit more difficult to take a little bit sometimes.
Well, I kind of like that, like, in none of these movies are any of the protagonists, like, 100% a good guy.
Sure.
Like, with the exception of the girl in this one who's, like, so ridiculously, like made into, like, this, oh, God, she's so wonderful, isn't she? That she's an incredibly dull character.
She doesn't even pick up a gun at some point and shoot someone to defend herself.
Like, she does some really dumb things.
She's
like,
just a symbol.
Her brother is like, oh, I don't know where I am, or I need some help. And she's like, I'm going to just walk to where you're at and help you. How is that? There's people with guns and knives everywhere, and she's like, I'm going to pick you up.
I think her brother was worse. He's that character who's like, every scene with him until she and he meet up again, I'm like, you're too dumb to survive a horror movie.
But at least he's a little more interesting in terms of like what he's supposed to represent than she is.
Yeah,
because he's just so on the nose.
He annoyed me with how dumb he was. He's like, I'm just going to go out there with a gun. Yeah. All right, I'll go to this random party. All right, cool. I'm going to walk right up to you and point a gun at your face, crazy guy I'm scared of.
Once again, he is a teenager who, also, I was selling drugs on a street corner, which is a really bad life decision to begin with. So, this guy's all about making bad calls from the get-go. And I think in some ways he represents kind of that part of the audience. Like, yeah, man, I would totally purge. And I was like, would you, though?
Yeah.
Would you? Does this would not be good.
I like when even his friends were like, are you out here purging? Are you fucking stupid? Let's go get high.
Let's go to this party.
Yeah.
Which is so freaking realistic.
Yes.
Because they were like, what's a purge party? I don't know. Let's go and find out.
And it was actually pretty great. They're like, they're even watching the video feed. He's like, what the fuck are they doing? I think they're calling it a purge party. Why? I don't know. People.
Yeah, because all the cops are away, so you can have the music as loud as you want. You're partying in the street. What else do you want?
So this Wesley Snipes motherfucker, Yolan Noel, actually is good enough. I was like, I would totally watch this guy in another film.
Definitely watch him in something
else. He's having fun here.
I want to see him go Frank Grillo style.
Yeah. He pulls off the action scenes here with aplomb. I mean, he's a motherfucking badass.
Yeah.
You know, once it gets into the third act where it's like straight up killing. Yeah. En masse, I was like, damn.
There were some bad shaky cam fight scenes, but he still, it was clear, it's like, you were putting your all into this fight scene. Like, it just some of the cinematography was bad for that, but he definitely gave it a lot of energy to the scenes.
I can forgive a lot of, like, the heavy-handed messages, because it's just, I don't know, it's just cheesy and I like it, but I guess the biggest strikes for me for this movie is the shaky cam and the quick editing and some of the directing and the fight scenes. There's a fight scene where assassins attack him, and it's cut between the rave party. I I think it's cut between the rave party or
something else.
Yeah, and it's very disorienting and confusing in not a good way. It doesn't tell like a good narrative fight scene. And then there's like there's a fight scene later in the movie that's actually shot pretty decently, and they try to do like the Captain America stairwell fight scene with this guy, and it's like the first time he's doing this, and this has got no budget compared to like a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
I thought they did a pretty decent job.
I did. Yeah, as I said, that was the one where I was thinking mostly the shaky cam was. It's like, okay, you're shaking this a lot more than you need to. There's ones where like it pans up to the stairwell access to roof side and then back for no reason. I'm like,
yeah, they needed a cut.
But he was definitely drove that fight scene where you felt like you were in the moment, and it pretty worked well.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty excited with so the first time director, right, Gerard McMurray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he did a pretty good job. I mean, I think it was competently handled. There was definitely some errors
it wasn't perfectly shot anything by any stretch of the imagination. And I feel like he probably could have handled stuff with his actors a little bit better at points.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's the biggest thing holding this one back. Like the second two, especially, they just get going. They're like, okay, here we go, Purge.
Yeah.
Right. This one, it's a good 20, 30 minutes into it before we even get to the Purge happening. And it's all speechifying. It's all set up. It's like, literally, you could have done all this in 5 minutes and told us everything we needed to know to get to that point.
But it gives the characters weight, and you want to care for these
people. You would if they had better dialogue written for them and they weren't just spouting platitudes. You know, they spent so much time in that first 20 minutes with the female character who, like I said, is just a walking, breathing cliche of a character.
I saw them like building a little bit of dread in you. Like, that's how I took
it. I liked that first bit because it helped explain, like you said, how did this nonsense thing start happening? How does like, it's so unrealistic how the Purge begins. And we get that this is a fantasy, but like it does a pretty decent job of explaining that, like how they're paying
people.
See,
I think it went on a little
long. Like that
we got the idea from like the first two super crazy people. Then they try like the fourth one where it's like, oh, who could it be that we're showing off camera? Oh, surprise. It's the brother who was pissed off a second ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you have to have some internal conflict for her to actually, you know, have her get stuck in the Purge and something happen. I felt like a lot of that was, you know, a lot of the stuff that if you've even heard of the other Purge movies, you know what's going to happen or what's going to lead up to this. You don't need 20 minutes of setup. You need like, here's 10 minutes of the opening credit thing that they did with the news. Here is the first two people being interviewed. And then we introduce our main characters. And that's really about all I think you needed.
Well, let's go to final thoughts. Zach, why don't you start us off?
Well, so I said, the big marks against it are, I come from a first-time director in that some of those scenes are not shot as clean as I'd like them to be. And maybe that's just, like, I'm not into the whole Jason Bourne-style fight scenes. But that said, I mean, I love this. I mean, it's basically the same movie as the second and third, just with different characters. similar messages and the same premise. So yeah, I like it. I give it a 6.5 out of 10. I mean, that's like for what it is. Like
6.5 what out of 10?
6.5. Oh shit!
You're supposed to think about this stuff.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be thinking of it. Crackheads. Oh, Skeletor.
Yeah,
Skeletors.
Fair enough. All right, Miguel.
To be fair, you just took mine. So.
Oh shit!
Took one while I'm talking.
Okay. Yeah.
So, for what it was, this is a very entertaining movie. First-time director, it's always exciting to see some promising new work out there. I thought the design of the movie was pretty cool. I haven't seen the second or the third one, so I think Zach said that it's kind of similar, like color schemes and all that, but I liked it. Some of the acting was really off, but the main guy was really cool. I see him in new action roles. I really want to see him. Marissa Tomei was underused here.
Kind of wasted.
Yeah, wasted. Yeah. She didn't need to be in this at all. Regardless, I enjoyed it, so I would probably give it 7 out of 10.
Marissa Tomei boobies.
That's a lot of Marissa Tomei boobies.
Wait, so is that 20?
I'm not against this, though.
Or is that 10? We'll do the math later.
You gotta get your ass to Mars and see that Marissa Tomei multi-boobie girl.
I wish I had three hands.
So, this for me, I mean, as I kind of said, you kind of know what you're getting into with the Purge movie. It's going to be highly political. It's going to be kind of obvious. I felt like the acting was maybe even a step down from the previous two. Again, we've talked about Ilan Noel was really good. I think he did about as well as Frank Grillo did in some of those other movies. The action scenes were generally good. Some of it, I was like, you know, supposedly the government's going to try to cover this up, but even this seems like it's a little bit hard for this government to cover this up. Like,
yes.
What the fuck are you doing?
You say that, but every day there's a new news story about something that the current administration is doing that is flat out illegal.
But that's not
and
even
their response
being-
is... No, we didn't.
I guess that's fair.
I know I just tweeted about that. But
their response is fake news.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's fair enough on that. But overall, I mean, yeah, it's a fun movie. It's more action horror than horror. There's some scenes where they try to, you know, force the horror in there, and it works. Overall, though, I give it 6.5 overly intricate masks out of 10.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in terms of a symbolic political film, which is definitely what all these are. This thing only paints in bright primary colors, no question. But, I mean, there's, like I said, not even an inch of subtlety to it. But it knows exactly what it is. Ultimately, like I said, it's kind of a horror thriller. It's not trying to be, like, a film that people are going to discuss by the water cooler. It's a film that you discuss with your friends, like, dude, you see that one scene? It's trying to do stuff to get the message into a different set of ears to go, hey guys, why aren't you more mad about what's happening right now? And, you know, you don't make a drawing room film about that. You make a violent, ultra violent action thriller. And that's exactly what these guys have done. And they do it pretty well. This one, I think, is probably the first one's my least favorite. This is probably my second least favorite, but I still did enjoy it. It just spends it. There's too many times the movie just slows down to a stop to make sure you understand what they're talking about. And and if it had better actors, I might have been able to pull it off. I just wanted to spend all my time with Ilan Noel, who is, like I said, he's he's the Frank Grillo of this movie. He's the flawed action hero, you know.
He needs to be a bad guy in the next Marvel movie like Frank Grillo was.
Or there's another character in any Marvel movie. He doesn't have to be the bad guy. I mean, he reminded me of, what's the supposed evil clan in Black Panther?
Evil clan?
Not clan. The division, the claw. Yeah, I forget the actor's name, but I think you could challenge that guy for their leadership.
Oh, M'Baku?
You're talking M'Baku?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I was like, Claw's a totally different
clan. Group. I didn't know the tribe, I guess?
No, I'm not saying they were the Ku Klux Klan.
I was worried you were reading into
clan,
that one.
Clan is a word outside of
that. I figured that, but okay. Anyway, after we see enough Klansmen in this movie, Klansmen, who knows?
Okay, but he is exciting. He is exciting to watch here. This has definitely got a lot of fun moments in it. And when it finally, in the third act, just says, all right, here you go. Here's the movie you showed up to see. It pretty much delivers. It gets super ridiculously over-the-top violent. Like I said, not a horror sense, more of a sort of like, this dude is Wesley Snipes killing people with like badass twirls and cutting people's throats with curved blades and shit. You're like, aren't these people supposed to be highly trained?
Aren't they wearing body armor?
Where'd you pick that? Where'd you pick all that shit up from? Anyway, now there's going to have to be the first Purge where we go back and we see how this guy got to be such a badass.
And I would watch it.
Yeah, you totally would. But overall, I did enjoy it, but I think I'm right in the same page as all you guys. I give it 6.5 out of 10 exploding stuffed animals.
That part was dumb.
Yeah, yes.
It was dumb. But I did want to... Why didn't we ever get to see any more of the crazy homeless ladies?
They didn't even explode.
I wanted them to be like just straight up like old ass ladies going around killing people.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
I
want to watch a movie about that.
I kept feeling
that
like
a Monty Python sketch.
I feel like there was a deleted scene where they finished their story because they just kind of, they were like spent time with them early on and they got the one scene and
they
then
had their theme song.
They had their own theme song and then they're just out of the movie.
Evil
Grannies?
That's a movie.
That's a Purge spinoff. Evil Grannies. The Purge.